All right, we are on the air. So a few shots sent in. Let's say you have a fleishig pot and you want to turn it into a milchig pot, or a milchig pot and you want to turn it into a fleishig pot. Right, you may have that around Shavuos time, you want to cook more milchigs, you may want to switch the pot, or you bought it, you thought it was good for this reason, now you really want to switch it, or whatever your reasons may be. But the question is, can you switch, do Hagala and Kasha the pot, and switch it over, hello Marty, can you switch it over from Milchik to Fleishik or Fleishik to Milchik? So the way it goes like this, if you made a treif, for some reason, something happened to it, then once you Kasha it, you can go ahead and switch it over. But to go ahead and Lichachila, just to switch over the pot or pan from Milchik to Fleishik, hello to Fael, to switch over a pot from Milchik to Fleishik, the minhag is not to do it. Now, there are some cases where it will be allowed. It definitely should be asked. So, but as a rule, a fleishik pot should not be switched to milchik, milchik to fleishik, unless it became treif. Okay? So that is the minhag over there as far as that goes. A second shayla sent in was giving children a bath on Shabbos. You have long Shabbos afternoon, and you may get dirty. And this may be relevant to adults as well. But so it was a long Shabbos afternoon. Can you have a shower to some degree? So when, as far as adults are concerned, you should not do it. It creates a disgrace for Shabbos. Even if you're going to follow all the halachas right, it's not something which should be done. You can wait. You can wait a few hours. But hello, Abba. But so we're discussing right now giving a bath to a child. So no adults on Shabbos, but a child. So here's the way it works. There are three issues that must be dealt with. First issue is you cannot do schita. If you're going to give, we're discussing long Shabbos afternoons, you want to give your child a bath, it's filthy, it's disgusting, about to go to sleep. So you have to make sure there's no schita, which means both on the hair of the body and on the towel, which means it must be very limited water. You can push, but no pressing, no squeezing. So you have to avoid the schita of the hair. Second of all, you cannot do bishul, and therefore you cannot heat up hot water. You cannot take hot water out from your tub or from your sink because the boiler will ignite. The only thing you can use hot wood from yesterday, which means if you have wood in the urn, you can use that water. Do not put it straight on the child because that would not be good. But what you could do is put the water from the urn into a pot. We'll call that a kli sheni. And then pour that pot into the baby tub, into the tub. And then you have kli shlishi, hot water. Then you could add cold water and make sure that it's not too hot or too cold for the child. So that's the way of doing it to avoid bishul. The third issue is there's an issur to do a full bath. What you're allowed to do is only 49% of the body. So what you do is you wash 49% of the body, dry it off, and then wash the other 49% of the body. And then if you remember, the remaining 2% you can wash a third time. So you never want to wash 50% of the body or more at the same time. Okay, so if you want to give a bath to a child on Shabbos, avoid schita, avoid bishul, and avoid doing full body.
Rebbe, that third category, what's that halacha exactly?
There is an issur d'rabbanan. Hello, Rebecca and Alex. We're discussing right now giving a bath to children on Shabbos. Adults should not have one, but a child, if they're very dirty, you can do it, but no schita, no bishul. And this last point, Rebbe, was that there's an issur d'rabbanan to do a bath. They made a gezeira because we're afraid people are going to heat up the water, or the mikvah people heat up the water. So there's an issur d'rabbanan to have a full bath. For a lady going to the mikvah, we're mekel, there's no issur. But in general, there is. And therefore, the way to avoid it, or the way that it's not usur, is if you don't do a full body, because that was never the gezeira. And therefore, do wash 49% of the body, dry it off, then the other 49% of the body, and then you can do it. If you want to look for it, it's in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Chavav, I believe. If it's not there, I'll let you know exactly where it is. Now, fine. That was the second Shaila sent in. The first Shaila sent in, for those who just joined us, was no switching pots from Milchik to Fleishik, Fleishik to Milchik, unless it became treif. And the third Shaila sent in is, what happens if in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, you finish early and you want to say Tehillim, or you want to say Karvanos, or you want to learn? So the rules like this, once you've started Baruch She'amar until after Shemona Esrei, you're not allowed to say anything else except for what is between Baruch Shem Hashem Esrei. So therefore, if you have a point where you are not davening, you cannot say Tehillim, you cannot say Karbanos, you cannot learn with your lips. What you can do is with your eyes, you can scan anything. So if you have a break, you want to scan a sefer, that's fine. But not to say anything once you have started Psukei Dezimra. Okay, that is a wrap on some random shilas. And now here we go. So the topic of tonight is Shavuos. Shavuos.
Again, even after you said Yishtabach and the bracha, you cannot say anything.
Once you have said Baruch Shema and on, including Yishtabach and the bracha, you cannot say anything that's not written in the Siddur between the Baruch Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. You can learn with your eyes, but not say anything, even Tehillim, even Karbanos.
And that doesn't go along until Tachanun?
Until after Shmoneh Esrei, yeah. Better to wait until after Tachanun.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. What?
Never mind that. Thanks.
Rabbi, where can we see that inside? Is that Nun Aleph or Nun Beis?
It's definitely not Nun Beis. It probably is Nun Aleph. If you like, I can get for you the exact citation. Leave that there. I'll send it.
No, I was going through it a few weeks ago. I want to be more than it. So.
Okay, I'll send you the exact source.
Thank you. Question from Rebecca, can you gesture with your hand?
Yes, you can join Psukei Dezimra, but it shouldn't be done. It shouldn't turn into a charade party. Right? I mean, if there's a certain need, that there's something that someone needs to know something, it's pressing, so then it's okay for kavod, for someone, or for if you're afraid of something, then yes. But it shouldn't just be a charade party. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shema, we're much more machmir. But Psukei Dezimra, you could be leading with minimal charades. Okay, so now the topic of the night is Shavuos. Unlike Pesach and Sukkot, that has lulav, matzah, sukkah, maror, a lot of mitzvahs we're doing, things to get our hands involved with, Shavuos is the yantiv without the mitzvah. Right? We got the Torah and we learned the Torah, but what else is going on in Shavuos? But it is interesting, there are a lot of halachas that are very relevant and come into practice on Shavuos, plus a lot of different minhagim. So I'm going to discuss first the minhagim and then some of the relevant halachas that come up. So first of all, there is a minhag on Shavuos to put grass or plants and flowers in your house, in the shul, to remind yourself, a zecher to Har Sinai. There was mountains, there was grass. So there is such a custom. Other people don't like that custom because Goyim seem to have adapted that custom at the end of December. And therefore, maybe it looks like you're doing something that the Goyim are doing, even though we did it first, right? We did it first, but still, it may not look so Jewish. Others say that doesn't matter. We did it first, and we don't do it publicly. We don't put them in the malls. We don't put them in the streets. So therefore, it is fine. And that is the custom, to have extra flowers or grass in the shul or in the house. Now, another custom that is very relevant is like this. All right, so there is... hello, doctor. There is a custom to stay up all night learning on Shavuos. We're starting right now the halachas on minhagim on Shavuos. So there is a custom of staying up all night on Shavuos. So where did this come from? Because B'nai Yisrael, when we got the Torah, we overslept the day of getting the Torah. Hashem had to wake us up. And as a way of fixing that, so the shla brings down, it's a great idea to stay up and learn all night. But I want to make sure that a few things. First of all, it's not a chiv. It's not a mitzvah. It's a great thing to do. It's very holy. A lot of good spooky things happen if you do. But it's only if you're actually going to stay up all night and learn. If it's going to turn into, I'm trying to stay up. And let me just schmooze a little bit so I can stay up. Let me just run around the block. If you're not learning and you're not using the time properly, well, then it's better to go to sleep. Because it's not a chiv. It's a nice thing to do. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it down. The first sources are in the Shla, but it's not even the Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to call it a minhag, a nice thing to do. But if you're not going to learn well, or you're just not going to be able to daven the next morning, you're going to be done, you can't daven, well, then you definitely should sleep. I'm not telling you how much to sleep, but definitely sleep something. Maybe a regular night, maybe half a regular night. We'll get to that later, actually. But definitely don't stay up learning if it's not going to be productive. Now, the other minhag that has evolved on Shavuos is eating milchiks. That's very fascinating where this comes from. Because every Yontif, Pesach, Sukkah, Shavuos, we bring a carbon in the base of Mikdash called the Shalmei Chagiga. Sorry, the Shlamim. And it's an animal, and we eat it, and that's a Simchas Yontif. Shavuos, Pesach, and Sukkah, all of them have the same thing. And therefore, it's not a Milchik holiday. But where did this come from? The idea of eating Milchiks. So some want to say it's because we didn't have the Torah yet. We just got the Torah to learn the Lachas of Basu and Chalav. A little bit tricky. And therefore, we just had Chalav. That could be. Or the other way around, we want to do both milk and meat because we just learned that Lachas. We want to put them into practice. We know what we're doing. But whatever it is, therefore, the custom started. Hello, Margie. The custom started to have Milchiks and Fleishiks, a lot of different minhagim. There's another source for it, which is what actually is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah brings down that on Shavuos, that we were bringing a special carbon of Beis HaMikdash called the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves of bread. What that was is a special carbon. We bring animals, but in addition to that, it'd be two loaves of bread from new wheat. So the Ramah says, if you have Milchiks and Fleishik in the same meal, you have to switch the bread. You cannot have the same loaf of bread on the table. And therefore, have milchik on slice of bread or loaf of bread number one. Then you'll clear that and bring out loaf of bread number two and have the fleishiks. And therefore, you're having a zecher to two breads in the Beis HaMikdash. And that could also be the source behind milchiks and fleishiks. Fine. Having said that, so those are the different sources. How does it play out? At the end of the day, it's all based on minhagim. And you can do whatever you want, really. I'll give you certain guidelines, right? Some people have fleishiks everything. Some people have milchiks everything. Some people have a milchik kiddush and a fleishik meal. Some people will have, is what I do, at night, just fleishiks. And by day, fleish a milchik meal, then clear the tablecloth, bring out a new loaf of bread and tablecloth, and then have meat at the same meal. That way I'm doing what Therma said of having two loaves of bread in one meal. But whatever you do, here are the guidelines. You're not allowed to have meat when you have milk in your mouth. And you're not allowed to have fleishik, right after you've had fleishik. The same rules that apply the whole year round apply on Shavuos too. And therefore, once you're fleishik for 3 hours or 6 hours. Now, if you had milchiks first, what you need to do is wash out your mouth with a solid and a liquid. It means chew on a pretzel, slice of bread, and also drink some water. That therefore, you'll be removing any milchik that you have in your mouth. You don't need to wait a half hour, but what you do need to do is wash out your mouth, and you should also wash your hands. So when you switch the tablecloth, wash your mouth and hands, and then you could have the fleishik part. That's issue number one. Issue number two is there's no need to bench or make a bracha achrona in between. So if you're having a milchik kiddush going to the meal, you don't need to make an alamichya. It's connected, unless you take a real break in between. If there's a real break, then fine, make the alamichya. But otherwise, you go straight from the milchik kiddush into the fleishik meal, or like what I do in the middle of the meal, you don't need to bench in the middle. It's one big meal with a milchik part, switching tablecloth, washing out, and a fleishik part. And the third thing is, if you do decide you want to have only milchik meals, it's recommended, at least for the men, to at least have a kazayis of basar, a kazayis of meat, because that, the Gemara says, the simchas yontif that we have today is through meat and wine. For the men. For the women, it's new clothing and jewelry. So therefore, you definitely should make sure you get some of that. But for the men, it's not with cheesecake. So now, even though we love cheesecake and we want it, and you could have it and you should have it, but the simcha comes about through the meat and wine. And therefore, you should make sure you have that at some point at night and at some point during the day. Okay, so those are the three different minhagim of Shavuos, the grass and flowers, milk and meat, and staying up all night to learn if it is productive. Okay, now we're move on to halachas that come up on Shavuos,
I'm sorry. When you refer about washing your mouth, you refer like only drinking water, or you have to literally go to the bathroom and wash your mouth with a thing?
No, you don't need to do a shower, a dental spray. All you can do is eat something and then drink. While you're drinking, I recommend doing a little swishing in the mouth. You don't need to go to the bathroom and do that. You can just do a little swish to make sure that the water would wash out whatever's in there. You don't need to brush your teeth. You don't need to do anything like that.
Okay, thanks.
All right, fine. So that ends the minhagim part. Now the halachas, they come up very much on Shavuos, but in truth, they could come up the whole year round. This could be a whole year by itself. We'll just put it now, which is making the brachas in the morning, like Berachas HaTorah, Berachas HaShachar. So we'll want to walk through it. In the morning, every morning, what you do in the morning is you wash your hands, you say, Anati Yisadayim, Asher Yatzar, Elokai Neshama, your bracha on your tzitzis, Berachas HaTorah, and then Berachas HaShachar. Berachas HaShachar starts with Hanosein Lasech Vivina, thanking Hashem for the rooster, that we are not Goyim, for giving us clothing, straightening us up. And then it ends off with Hamavir Shena, we're thanking Hashem for removing the sleep. And then that has the whole long Yiratzon. So those are all the brachas we make in the morning. So when you go to sleep normally, and you wake up normally, you'll make all those brachas. There are no shilas. Take a sitter, make them all. When are there shilas? When you stay up the whole night, or you wake up really early? And that's what I want to discuss now. What are the halachas? So again, this could be whether you are a night owl and you stay up really late, and sometimes you just, you know, stay up the whole night, or you were someone in the hospital, or Shavuos night where you're up learning the whole night, where someone's up the whole night. What do you do now? What brachas do you make or do you not make? Same thing, let's say you went to sleep a little bit early and you wake up early and you woke up at Chatzos. So you woke up at 3 a.m. What brachas do you make, should you make, can you make? And that's what I'm going to discuss now. So it's very Shavuos related, but also has ramifications the whole year round. Okay, so we're going to talk about two types of people. First person is the one who stayed up all night. Okay, so someone who stayed up all night, what are the rules of him? So if he stayed up all night means until Alos HaShachar. That's one thing. That's what stay all night means, until Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is dawn, which is around 90 minutes or 72 minutes before sunrise. If you look in the calendar, you'll have dawn, you'll have Alos HaShachar. So that is stay up all night until Alos HaShachar. Hello, Yoni. We're discussing now all the brachas you make in the morning when you stay up all night. So if you slept a half hour in bed in pajamas, that's considered sleeping. So staying up all night means you did not have a half hour in bed in pajamas. If you put your head down on a shtender, on your friend, in your clothes, on the couch, that doesn't count as a sleep. That's as if you haven't slept. Okay, so we're talking about someone who has not slept. That means no half hour in bed in pajamas. That's called a shenas kva, a set sleep. Okay, so now this person, it's now Alos HaShachar. What does he do? So the whole night until Alos HaShachar, there are no brachas made, except if he goes to the bathroom and makes Asher Yatzar. Other than that, no brachas are needed the whole night. Now it's Alos HaShachar. If he's going to go back to sleep or go to sleep, he's saying, I can't daven now, I want to go to sleep, then two things. First of all, he needs to set an alarm or have someone wake him up for davening, because you can't go to sleep after Alos HaShachar without davening unless you have someone that will wake you up. That's one. Two is, you do not need to make any of the brachas. You go to sleep, and when you wake up, then you'll make all the brachas like you did normally. So even though you were up the whole night, and now it's Alos HaShachar, no brachas needed, go to sleep, and then when you wake up, make all your brachas. Fine. Now let's say he's not going to sleep. He's staying up, and he's going to daven now. What should he do? So here's the way this works. from Alos HaShachar and on, dawn and on, he should wash his hands. But he can't make the bracha on it because he was up the whole night. So what he should do is, from Alos HaShachar on, go to the bathroom. When you come out, now your hands are halakhically dirty. Now you can wash your hands alternating with water. And then you can make an al netilas yadayim and an asher yatzar. So again, so if you're up all night and you go to the bathroom after Alos, then you wash your hands with the bracha, al netilas yadayim and asher yatzar. If for some reason you can't go to the bathroom, then you should hear this bracha from someone else. You should wash your hands and hear Anati Zadayim and Asher Yatzar from someone else, because you yourself cannot make it. If there's no one else around, so then you can make these brachas. But that's like the third choice. The best is you to go to the bathroom. Second one, hear from someone else. And if not, if all else fails, no bathroom, no other people, so then you can make the bracha yourself. As far as tzitzis goes, so if you wear talis gadol, so then your bracha is on the talis gadol, that's fine. And then you're going to make after Misha Yakir, after the sun comes up a little bit, that you can recognize your friend. But let's say you're not wearing a talis gadol, you only wear a talis katan. So then you cannot make a bracha on the same talis katan you wore the whole night. So you have two choices. You either switch, put on a different pair and make a bracha on that. Or what you can do is hear the bracha from someone putting on a talis, and that will be motzi you in your bracha, even though it's a different bracha. It's l'sati fatzitzis as opposed to mitzvah tzitzis. It's the same mitzvah. And therefore, hear from someone else and be yotzi with that. But do not make a bracha on the same pair of tzitzis that you were up in all night. Okay, number three, berachas haTorah. So this is the trickiest one. Berachas haTorah, it's a machlokes if every day requires it anew or only if you had a sleep. So if you were up all night, you should not make berachas haTorah. It's a big machlokes and therefore avoid it. Do not make berachas haTorah. What you should do is hear it from someone else who did go to sleep. So you, from alos hashachar and on, if you have anyone that's making berachas haTorah, you want to go hear it from them if you're up all night. If there's no one else around, you still should not make it. What you should do is when you daven shacharis and you say, Ahava Rabbah before Shema, you have in mind there because you're yotzei berachas haTorah with that because we're talking about the Torah in Ahava Rabbah. And therefore, do not make it yourself. When you daven Ahava Rabbah, have in mind berachas haTorah. And right after Shemona Esrei, go and learn. Say Yivrach Hashem V'yishmeracha and Eilu Devarim like you would do normally after berachas haTorah. Now, the third thing, and this is tricky, but this is actually the most relevant, is, okay, let's say this year, Shavuos night is Sunday night. So you're up all Sunday night. Comes Monday morning, you can't make berachas haTorah by yourself. But here's what happens. If you had a nap Sunday you had a nap. So even though we hold, when you have a nap during the day, in bed, in pajamas, when you wake up, you do not make berachas haTorah, this is where it will help you. If you had a nap by day Sunday, so then if you're up all night Sunday night, so then Monday morning from Alos HaShachar on, you can make Berachas HaTorah. And this was very relevant. Maybe you have doctors who have long shifts. They sleep by day, then they're up all night. Or let's say by Yontif, you're going to sleep Erev Yontif and then be up all night. Because you had a real nap in bed for half hour or more in pajamas, you now are allowed to say Berachas HaTorah even though you were up the whole night. And that's very relevant for most people. Okay, the fourth thing is berachas.
How do you learn through the night if, like, you know, your berachas haTorah didn't go on it?
It's a great question. It's a lot of sfeikus, a lot of machleikusim. That's a psak. So the psak is that it does go on it, even though it is definitely debatable. Now the last thing are
and by the way,
yeah.
So and we mentioned 30 minutes in a bed in pajamas. What if you fall asleep for 2 hours on a couch in your clothing?
It's a good question.
Is that okay?
They discuss it. Also debatable. They seem to say no. If it's like the whole night, you slept the whole night, 3, 4, 5 hours, maybe, yeah. But the 2 to 3 hour range is still in Suffolk land. And if it's on the couch in your clothing, it does not really count. Unless that's where you sleep. Like, for example, on a plane, if that's where you're sleeping in the chair and you slept a half hour in the chair, that's the place of sleeping for the night. So for some reason you're sleeping on the couch, that's where you're going to sleep, then it's fine. But if you were just dozed off and you look up and it's 2 hours later, that's not considered a real sleep. Okay, so now the last thing is berachas haShachar. Berachas haShachar is all the brachas you make in the morning, El Kai Neshama, Hanosei Nesech Vivina. Here's the way this goes. If you were up all night, even if you had a nap, you cannot say Elokai Neshama and Hamavir Shena. Those are the two you cannot say. All the other ones you can say. The rooster one, standing up straight, having kayak, all those you could say even if you're up all night. But Elokai Neshama and Hamavir Shena you should not say because you're thanking Hashem for giving you a neshama back and taking away the sleep, but you didn't sleep. And therefore, those two brachas you should not make. You should hear from somebody else. If there's no one else around, then you can make them yourself. But it's very b'di eved, it's a machlokas, and therefore it's better for you to hear those bracha from someone else, okay? So here's a quick wrap. For someone who is up all night, Shavuos night, you're up all night, Shavuos night. So if now comes Alos HaShachar, what you want to do is go to the bathroom, wash your hands, make Ashayata on Tizadayim. Make a bracha on your talis gadol, or a new pair of tzitzis, if it's after Misha Yakir. Berachas haTorah, if you had a nap on Sunday, Josh, you had a nap on Sunday, a real nap in bed, some hold that obligates you right then on Sunday to make Berachas haTorah. We paskin not, but we use that as in concert with other opinions that hold every time you should make a new bracha, even if you were up the whole night. And therefore, if you had a nap on Sunday and you stayed up all night, Sunday night, we put many shittas together and say you can make Berachas HaTorah. But if you did not have a nap, you're up all Sunday night, so then do not make Berachas HaTorah, hear from somebody else, or Ahava Rabba, Elkai Neshama and Hamav Yashena, you should not say, you should hear from someone else. If there's no one else around, then you can say it. And all the other Berachas HaShachar, you can say by yourself. So now this was for someone who is up all night. Now what about the other guy? The guy who goes to sleep, but he wakes up early. He wakes up at 12 o'clock. He wakes up at 3 o'clock. So now, if he wakes up and he goes back to sleep, no brachas. And he wakes up, he gets a drink, even if he wants to learn for 20 minutes. But he's going back to sleep. His plan is to go back to sleep before davening. So you go back to sleep, no brachas are needed. But let's say you woke up, you want to learn, you want to get up, you want to start your day at 2 in the morning, at 3 in the morning. So here are the rules for you. Because you slept, you had a real sleep, you can go ahead and say, wash anatis and ayim, wash your hands, say anatis and ayim, ashe yatzar, go to the bathroom. You make your bracha and tzitzis at the appropriate time, right? Whenever there's light outside. Berachas HaTorah, you can make at any time. Whenever you wake up, even in the middle of the night, because you slept in the middle of the night, you can make Berachas HaTorah. So let's say it's dark at 8 p.m. If you have a nap from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. in your bed, when you wake up, you make Berachas HaTorah. If you plan on staying up the whole night. If you don't, you plan on going back to sleep, so then wait till the morning. As far as the other brachas, so now you woke up, it's 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. You can make all of the Berachas HaShachars, all of them, except for one. I'll tell you which one in a minute, but you can say Elkai Neshama, Hamav Yashena, all the other ones, because you did sleep in bed for over a half hour, so you can make all of those brachas. The only bracha you should hold off making is the rooster one. Hanosein Lasech Levina, because roosters do not get up at 3 in the morning. That bracha, you should wait until, until Alos HaShachar. So Hanosein Lasech Levina, you should wait until Alos HaShachar. Okay, so that's someone who goes to sleep and wakes up in the middle of the night. Pretty much, you make all the brachas, no problem. And the only one you really push off is Hanosein Lasech Levina. But if you made a mistake and you made that bracha, you're yotze with it, even if you made it too early. Okay, that is a wrap on relevant halachas for Shavuos or any day. Now we'll go into bitachon. So we're in the middle of Perek Daled in Shabbat Bitachon. We're discussing the rich man now. And one other point that he pulls out, when a rich man or someone who has his parnasa and is successful, and he has some intermediary that he made the money through, whether it's his boss, whether it is a good technique that he used, and he did something and he really made money with that, he says it's very crucial to start thanking Hashem and not the intermediary. Now, of course, you need Hakaras HaTov if there's some person involved. You have to thank that person. But you have to recognize that it wasn't your genius that made you that money. It wasn't that middleman that made you that money. And your shvach, your praises, have to go to Hashem and don't focus on that middleman. And he said you have to realize you made it through this way, but Hashem could have given it to you even in an easier way. And if you're busy thanking the middleman, so then you're locking yourself into a box. It's not from Hashem. It's because I'm so smart. I did it this way. And you realize maybe there may have been even a better way and Hashem will give it to you the next time. But the idea is whenever you are successful, to recognize it wasn't your technique or that guy, it was the one above. As far as Tehillim, so we're in the middle of Kuf Lamed. We'll finish up Kuf Lamed now. But so Kuf Lamed, Shir HaMa'alos and Mama Kim, but that's when we say in times of need. And we've been saying that a lot. The last time we do the first half, which is we are in the depths, we're far away from you, and only you Hashem can bring us up. Only you Hashem can give full slicha, full forgiveness. The second half, from pasuk hey and on, kivisi Hashem kivsa nafshi, is a lesson of hoping and desiring and anticipation. We're waiting for something. What is that we're waiting for? So we say nafshi Hashem shem la'abayke shem la'abayke, something that comes every morning. And the Malbim explains, the same way the sun rises every morning, Hashem created the Teva, that the sun rises every morning, so too the Geula. We will be saved, Mashiach will come, it definitely will happen. And that's what we're hoping and waiting for. Kivisi Hashem, what we're waiting for Hashem, we're waiting for Mashiach to come, and we know for sure it will happen. Comes along Pasuk Zayin and Ches, which is, we're hoping Hashem will do it with Chesed, which means we'll bring it early. Morning never comes early. You know exactly when morning is going to come. If Vaday will come, but Vaday will not come early. What we're dying for is the Geula, that not only do we know it will come, but we're hoping with chesed, Hashem will bring it. And then the last pasuk puts it all together, we want to be redeemed, yifteh es Yisrael, from all our avirus. So that's in this short 8 pasuk tefillin, David HaMelech is tapping into 2 things. We want to be forgiven, and we want the geula, we know will happen, and please make it happen soon. And that is what we're having in mind when we're davening at the times of crisis. These are the 2 things we're tapping into. Forgive us and bring the geula. Okay, this week's parasha is parasha Bamidbar. So it says very interesting in Perek Gimel Pasuk Aleph, the Eile Toldos Aaron uMoshe. These are the descendants of Moshe and Aaron. B'yom Diber Hashem, on Hashem, they Hashem spoke to them at Har Sinai, and then it goes and lists all of Aaron's children. So the headline is these are Moshe and Aaron's children, and then it tells us only Aaron's children. So Rashi asks this question, and Rashi says because Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's children Torah. And therefore, it becomes like they're his children. That anyone who teaches someone Torah, it becomes like they're your children. What's fascinating is, this was Biyom Dibre Hashem. This was the day of, the day that we got the Torah. So how long did Moshe Rabbeinu teach Aaron's children? It was just happening today. An hour, half hour, like they just started learning. So Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, the Rashi of Bar Yaakov asked, how is it possible that Moshe is credited and treated like he's a father of these children when he just started teaching today? Like the first day you go to school, the first day you're ready, oh, he's not my father. I barely know this guy. So how was it that Moshe was treated? So he explains that even though it was only half hour, however long it was, but they were makabel, they took upon themselves Moshe to be the Rebbe. And Moshe accepted to be the Rebbe with a Kabbalah, with the acceptance alone. That's what created this Rebbe Talmud relationship. And I'm going to segue into Kabbalah to tell you with this also, that there's something powerful in a Kabbalah. Right now, all the time, everyone's busy taking Kabbalahs. Let's understand, what's a Kabbalah? Kabbalah, you've accepted something upon you, it changes the facts on the ground. And over here, the fact that they accepted to be the Rebbe Talmud, that was enough to make it now a father-son relationship with just the Kabbalah alone. Segueing into Shavuos, it's the Yom Kabbalah Torah. It's right. It's the day we accepted the Torah. Accepting the Torah is not just a present. It's with strings attached. When you accept something, it comes with a certain level of, I will be mechayev myself. I am now obligated to keep it, to keep the Torah. So it's not like we just got a present we put in the room. We got something which is obligates us. That's Kabbalah Torah. We took something, we got to give it back. We have to keep it, learn it, follow the Torah mitzvahs. And the Rabbeinu Hananel in Rosh Hashanah brings that by all the karbanos in the Torah, it says the word chatas, avera, by the karbanos. That on Yom Tov, we're bringing a sa'ir, a goat, for a chatas. By Shavuos, it does not say the word chatas. It leaves out the word chatas. So he explains, because on Shavuos, if you are makabel, the old Torah, his lesson is, Hashem says, if you are makabel, the old Torah, it's as if you've never done an avera in your life. This is the best true possible, right? Don't worry. If you are makabel the old Torah, the lashon of the Ben Chanan is, it's as if you've never done an avera. The idea is this, a concept of Kabbalah. Hashem gave us a Torah. If we accept it upon us, we become his people. Hashem says, you know what? Forget your averas. It's as if you haven't done averas. Now, you can't go ahead and do them because then you're not really accepting upon the Torah. The Torah is saying that you're going to keep the Torah mitzvahs. But if you accept it now, you're taking it upon yourself. The yoke of Torah, then as if you've never done an avera. And that's the power of a Kabbalah. And definitely, as we go into Shavuos, definitely accept upon yourself keeping the Torah in the midst of learning more. And by doing that, you'll make it as if you've never done an avera. And we'll end up with one last point, that Torah is not just this like book of laws, very restrictive. It's something which teaches how to live. By Rus, right? We read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Naomi was trying to convince her, Go away. Don't be Jewish. It's very hard. You can't marry everyone you want to marry. You can't walk places on Shabbos. And what did Ruth say back? Wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. Wherever you go, I'll go. Rashi explained. She was saying, I will only marry the people I'm allowed to marry, and I will only walk the places I'm allowed to walk. So Shana Shafel Hirsch asked, why did Ruth say, I will sleep wherever I can sleep? I will walk wherever I can walk. What she should have said was, okay, I won't sleep, meaning I won't marry whoever I can't marry. And I won't go where I can't go. Why does she say it in the positive, I will sleep, I will go, as opposed to, okay, I won't sleep there and I won't go there? So he says that Rus understood the roots of Yiddishkeit. Rus understood that Torah is not this restrictive thing, but teaching us how to live. But all the restrictions are not there to restrict us. It's teaching us the way to positively live and healthy live. There was a guy in a taxi, and a taxi driver was screaming about too many rules in the Torah. And when the rabbi got to the red light, the taxi got to the red light, and he stopped. The rabbi said, go to the light. He said, what do you mean? It's a red light. He said, so what? We don't keep rules. He said, no, but this rule keeps us safe. It's the same thing with the Torah. It's not just the rules upon us. The rules that keep us safe. The rules that teach us how to positively live. That's what he's saying to Tehillim. Ani avdecha ben amasecha in Hallel. We are the son of your maidservant. Ki tachta lemoseirai. Open up our chains. David HaMelech is saying, I want to be like Rus, like my grandmother. I don't want Torah to feel like a burden. Keeping the Torah is not a burden. It's an opportunity to how to positively live. And with that, have a wonderful Shabbos and a great Yom.